Brother Bobby Estes began attending worship services here just a little, not very often. He didn't have much interest after he and Judy were married. And Judy came, and if Bobby wanted to come, he came. But he didn't come very often, just every month or two he'd show up. And one Sunday morning, sitting right there, I saw Bobby's eyes kind of perk a little interest. He knew and he'd heard we have a reputation around here for what we believe and preach. And I like the reputation. Most folks don't, but I do. And I said to the congregation, beginning on our Tuesday night, I'm going to begin a series of messages for you in our midweek worship services on what folks commonly call Calvinism. I don't much like the term, but folks commonly call it Calvinism, the doctrines of grace. And Bobby didn't say anything. Tuesday night, there he was. You know where he'd been every service since then? Right there. Not missed a one. After about a year or so, back in 1986, going out the door one Sunday morning, having listened to the gospel for a good while, Bobby said to me, he said, I believe the Lord's saved me, given me faith in Christ. He said, I thought I was saved when I was a boy going to that other place. That's just the way he put it. And he said, but I didn't know God, didn't know the gospel, so I want to confess Christ. And he'd been a faithful, faithful, faithful man in this congregation. Dear, dear friend. I can't think of a better way to honor our friend and brother, a better way to honor God, a better way to minister to you who dearly love this man, and to you who are yet under the wrath of God, than by preaching to you the gospel of God. Bobby's doctrine. Most of you knew it. The doctrine of God, our Savior. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16 that there is a day coming appointed by God when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Soon, somebody's going to kiss you goodbye for the last time. Soon, you will meet God in judgment. Soon, you will enter into the wrath of God in hell's everlasting torments, or enter the bliss of God's grace and glory in heavenly glory with Christ Jesus the Lord. And it will altogether be determined by whether or not you know God's gospel. If you don't, you'll perish forever. If you do, if you believe the gospel, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as He's revealed in the gospel, life eternal is yours. So I'm going to speak very plainly to you today about some things that I'm quite sure you're going to hear. I prepare funeral sermons. I've been doing this for a long time. And I'm aware that most people don't pay any attention. They just goes in one ear and out the other. And about give up on folks paying attention to funeral sermons or wedding messages. But I keep trying. And I'm just dead sure convinced everybody here is going to remember this one. You're going to go out here rejoicing and meet me at the door and say, thank you for that. I needed that. That's a great blessing. Are you going to go out here just so mad you could bite nails into and you'd shoot me if you could? But you're going to hear what I've got to say, I promise you. You know what a fable is? Growing up, there's a book called Aesop's Fables. Folks, read the fables. They're stories. They're lies, but they're stories. You know, stories folks make up to give good moral lessons. I find that a little hard, how to give a good moral lesson by telling a fellow a lie. But you teach things like that, fables. Well, almost everybody I know and everybody you know, Baptist folks, conservative Baptist folks who are religious, live believing fables. Three religious fables commonly believed, taught, and preached everywhere in the world. Here they are. You've heard all your life. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. You know God loves everybody. No, he doesn't. If you've ever read your Bible, you know he doesn't. Now, you may cut it out, you may ignore it, but if you've ever read your Bible, you know it doesn't. This is what God says. Jacob have I loved. Anybody else know what the end of that sentence is? But Esau have I hated. Now, that's Bible. That's not Fortner, that's Bible. God doesn't love everybody. If God loves you, everything's all right. If God loves you, you're going to wind up in glory. And to tell folks God loves them, apart from faith in Christ, is to speak to them what God does not say. We rejoice to know God is love. But God loves sinners in Christ, with Christ, only in Christ. Second, folks have heard all their lives this fable that Jesus died to redeem and save everybody. Where on earth does anybody get that nonsense? It's not written in this book. You won't find a hint of it. You won't find a suggestion of it. You won't find a single word in this book that suggests he did. The Lord Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, the scripture says. Christ died in the room instead of his people. If God loves everybody, and some folks go to hell anyway, the love of God ain't worth spit. If Christ died for everybody, and some folks go to hell anyway, the death of Christ is utterly meaningless. He died in vain for the multitudes who are in hell. What blasphemy! And then folks tell us that God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to save everybody. He gives everybody an opportunity. There are people all over this world right now, who've never even seen the Word of God or heard the gospel of God's grace. No, God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't try to save anybody. Where did you ever read in the Scripture of God trying to do something? I try. You try. Not God. God doesn't try, he does. He doesn't try to convince, he convinces. He doesn't try to convict, he convicts. He doesn't try to save, he saves. Salvation is God's work. Well, Brother Don, where does that leave man? Nowhere, except in God's hands. That's a good place for you to be. But what about man? What's man's part in this? You don't have one. Man is dead in trespasses and in sins. Man is helpless. You who believe not because you're rebels against God. Your hearts are enmity against God, and you will not bow to God. How is salvation? Listen to the scriptures. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Oh, may God show mercy on your soul this hour. We believe God. God. What a word. God. Who is like unto thee? There is none like thee among the gods that doeth wonders. He who is our God is God indeed. The God we worship is not a good luck charm. He's not a rosary bead. He's not a rabbit's foot. The God we worship is God Almighty in absolute control of everything. Always and everywhere. Everything and everybody in heaven. Everything and everybody in the earth. Everything and everybody in hell. You and me. He holds all men in his hands. God's not in your hands, you're in his. God is not manipulated by you, you're ruled by him. So that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He who is God, the creator of all things, is the ruler of all things. Listen to the scripture. All things are of God. But quit butting like a goat in battle. All things are of God. For of him, That's the source. And through Him, that's the means by which they're done. And to Him, that's the end of all things, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Either God's God, in absolute rule over all things, in absolute control of all things, in all the affairs of providence, from the beginning to the end, the ruler of everything, the governor of everything, the disposer of everything, are God's just a name. If your God doesn't rule, you worship an idol. If your God's not sovereign, your God is no God at all. If your God is not as our God, you have no God. Your God is like Dagon. He just falls and gets his nose broke. He just stands there and can do no good. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That means that salvation is in God's hands. That means that God saves whom He will. That means He has mercy on whom He will. He is gracious to whom He will be gracious. And He predestined everything that comes to pass in time, exactly as it comes to pass, for the saving of His people to the praise of His glory. I can't tell you how many times Brother Bobby said to me, if I hadn't married Judy and started coming here, I'd have died in my sins. Sister Betty Jo, after her first husband died, moved down here, and she came for years. I've forgotten how many. And then she called me up one day. God had done a work in her heart, given her life and faith in Christ. And she said to me, I came to church just because Bobby would come in. I didn't want to make Bobby mad. I wanted to get along with Bobby. But she said, I hated you. Were those the words? I'd go out of there every time you preached something mad I could bite nails into. That's a good place to be. Maybe you pay attention. How come? Because you hated God. That's how come. She's born hating God. You see, that's the first thing that men and women need to understand. This thing called total depravity. Those aren't just words. Total depravity refers to the fall of man in the garden. When Adam sinned in the garden, God created Adam as the representative of all men. And being the representative of all men, the Scripture says, when Adam sinned, we sinned. When Adam died, we died. So that all men inherit by birth the nature of their father Adam. All men and women come into this world as babies speaking lies. Which of you mamas ever had to teach your children to lie? Which of you ever had to teach your child how to do wrong? That's what we are by nature. Totally depraved. That's the nature of every man, woman, and child in this universe from Adam. Everyone. I don't believe that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You might not like it, but you believe it. I'll guarantee it. If not, stand up here and tell your wife everything going through your mind this morning. Tell this congregation everything you thought today, this hour. Every thought that runs through your mind. You know the heart of man is evil, only evil continually, full of corruption, out of which comes nothing but poison, ungodliness, and sin. The Master said so. As a result of man's depravity, as a result of man's fall, men and women are declared in Scripture to be dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead. Dead men don't feel anything. Dead men don't do anything. Dead men don't hear anything. And all men by nature are dead. So that none seek after God. None will hear the word of God. I mean hear it. None will come to Christ. None will believe on Christ. None will follow Christ. But all will rebel against Him. Our Savior said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Well, that means that salvation comes to anybody. It's got to come by God's choice. Do you know what the Bible calls that? Election. What a one. Can you all say that, election? It'll do you good. Election. You're going to say that. Election. Our Savior said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And if you believe on Christ, it's because God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth. Nobody is saved apart from election. God chose from eternity whom He would save with absolutely no reason to do so except His own sovereign will. God's choice of men doesn't depend upon them. Not something He sees in them, not something He hopes they will do, not some action of theirs, but from eternity He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The Apostle Paul put it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in Him. Oh, what a blessed word. In love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Well, Brother Don, I didn't know the Bible taught election. Maybe you ought to read it. Maybe you ought to read it. And quit listening to folks who lie to you about God. This book is full of consolation. Election is the guarantee that some folks shall be saved. Election is the guarantee of the salvation of all the people loved of God. Those people redeemed by Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, I know people have the idea that Jesus died for everybody and He made it possible for everybody to be saved and made it possible for everybody to go to heaven if you will just believe. I had a preacher right back here in my office years ago. He sat in the office and asked me one day, he was trying to sell me some insurance, that wasn't going to work. So he said, will you tell me the difference between what you believe, what I believe, what your church believes, what I do? I said, you got a little time? He said, I do. So I spent the next four and a half hours telling him. And this is exactly what I said to him with regard to Christ's death. I said, you correct me if I'm mistaken. You believe, and your church believes, the denomination you're in believes, that Jesus died for everybody, but He didn't really redeem anybody. He just made them redeemable. He didn't really save anybody. He just made them savable. He didn't really justify anybody. He just made it possible for them to be justified. He didn't really put away anybody's sins. He just made it possible for their sins to be forgiven. And man, by his faith, makes the death of Christ meritorious and effectual for his own salvation. Is that right? He said, that's exactly right. I said, that's damning heresy. You'll go to hell unless God shows you a better God and a better Savior. That's damning heresy. Oh, no. Christ didn't make something possible. He did it. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Every sinner for whom Jesus Christ died shall and must and will be with Him in everlasting glory, because the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ shall never be discovered a miscarriage. He shall not fail. Every sinner He came here to save will be with Him in glory. He said, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And those sinners redeemed by Christ are brought to Him by the irresistible, omnipotent grace and power of God the Holy Ghost. Irresistible grace. You fellows preach that God forces sinners to be saved. He sure does. He sure does. He forces them to. By the marvelous constraint of irresistible love. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. The last time Brother Bobby prayed for us back in the office, he made this observation. I don't often say anything about men's prayers. Just find it difficult to do so. Don't find much reason to do so. But Bobby prayed with such simplicity, such plainness. And he said, God, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for choosing such a sinner as I am, bringing me to this place to hear the gospel. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. How is it that he forces sinners to come to him? He does it by the revelation of Christ in you. Our congregation's heard this many times, but some of you haven't, so I'm going to tell it again. It makes me look good to tell it. Most of you have seen my wife, the pretty blonde, and says, that's his wife. How did he get her? Well, when we first met, started dating, I was just 17 years old, and she was in college, and I would drive 5 miles across town to carry her books a half a block every time I got a chance. And when did just a little while, I said, Shelby, I want to marry you. And she looked at me and said, you don't know what you want. Like I was crazy. So I continued to court her. And you know what I did? All I did was showed her the very best of me I could show her. I'd take her to McDonald's and get her any flavor milkshake she wanted. And we dated and dated. If she didn't say no, we dated every time I was off from work. And one night, after about a year, we were up in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, at my aunt's house and uncle's house, and everybody else had gone to bed. I was sitting on the couch, and I knelt down beside the couch and asked her if she'd marry me. You know, she about jumped off the couch to say yes. How come? I was irresistible. I had made myself irresistible to her. She just couldn't withstand the love anymore. Oh, Spirit of God, make Jesus Christ irresistible to every soul in this place. And if you so reveal Christ in you, you've come to Him. Not come to a preacher, come to an altar, go and rub some rosaries. You've come to Him. Right where you are right now, if God's given you eyes to see and a heart to believe, that's called coming to Christ. But don't you have to say a prayer? No. But don't you have to get baptized? No. Don't you have to join church? No. Don't you have to walk down front? No. All that stuff comes from Rome. That's men doing something to make them think they've come to God. Nobody's ever come to God like that. If you come to God, you come to God by faith in Christ, and it's an act of the heart. It's an act of the heart. Now, the one more aspect of Bobby's gospel, our gospel, the gospel of God, we find most delightful. Some folks call it eternal security. Now, most folks mean by that, if you made a profession of faith when you were 5 or 6 years old, then you're saved even though you live like hell all your life. No, that's not it. This is eternal security. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's the scripture. Let me give you the Fortner add-on interpretation. No matter what. But what about all my faults and failures and falls and unbelief and sin, corrupt? No matter what. Our sins were forgiven us before they were ever committed by us. And He who cleansed our sin continues to cleanse us from all fault forever. Oh, Brother Dodd, if you tell people that, they'll go out and live like hell. No, they won't. Not that they won't live like hell. That's just fact. That's just fact. Saved sinners follow the Savior and rejoice to know we're kept by the power of His grace through the faith He's given us and He sustains in us. And though we fall 7 times in a day, and fall we do 7 times in a day. Why did He say 7 times? Why not 70,000 times? 7 speaks of completion. And you who are God will bear me witness. You rise up in the morning and you want to walk with Christ. You want to serve God in your mind, in your heart, in your life, in your deeds. Before you get done shaving. We don't do anything but fall and 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 fall. So that we must continually lean on the arms of the Almighty Savior who carries us at last to glory. The righteous, though he falls 7 times in a day, throughout the days of his pilgrimage on this earth, the Scripture says the Lord will raise him up. And the Lord raises him up. And keeps them. Keeps them. Keeps them. Until at last he brings them to glory. And she wasn't very well off, and they chatted a little bit, and she told him the hymn she wanted sung and the Scripture she wanted read. And they got done talking. She said, and one more thing. She said, when they bury me, be sure they bury me with my fork in my hand. And that kind of puzzled him. He said, I understand the hymns and the Scripture, but what's this fork for? She said, well, as you can see, I've never had much, but so growing up, we were real poor. And we didn't very often get dessert. But when we got done eating, and Mama said, keep your fork, I knew something better was coming. I've given my wife instruction. I have one fork. We've only had one. I like it real well. When we got it, it was a gift at one of those gas stations when they gave away stuff like that. And we never could afford to buy the rich set. But I've got that one fork. That'll be laying right there. When I'm called. There's something better coming. He that liveth and believeth in me, the Savior said, shall never die. Shall never die. When we leave this body, we will, with our brother, enter into glory and life everlasting, awaiting the resurrection of the body. Body joined to spirit and soul in everlasting glory in the perfection of God's salvation. Oh, I pray God will give it to you and work it in you for Christ's sake. Thank you.